The following is a Hoop Ball presentation.
What up, Grizz Nation? You're tuned in to the Hoop Ball Grizz Podcast. Isaac Simpson with you, and you can find me on Twitter at Isaac_Rivals. That's ISAAC_Rivals. You can get the podcast on Twitter at Hoop Ball Grizz. Make sure you go over there and give us a follow. We appreciate that. Along with me is my partner in crime and co-host, David Williams, and you can find him on Twitter at DWell2111. David, how are you, sir?
I'm good, man. Good. Enjoying this summer league basketball. Ready to see some of the new rookies.
Definitely, man. It's been fun, man. Grizz 1-1 had a big blowout in the first game where they played a lot of roster players. Didn't play any roster players last night and kind of had a tough game, but they'll be back at it tomorrow night against the San Antonio Spurs. So make sure you tune into that. But we're excited, man. As you know, the Grizzlies traded up from 40 to 30 to take Loyola Maryland standout Santi Aldama. We have a very special guest joining us here on the program today. He is an assistant coach for the Loyola Greyhounds and was the lead recruiter for Santi Aldama. He is Ivo Sabovic. Coach, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Man, we're doing good down here in Memphis, man. We're excited to have Santi Aldama aboard with the Grizz. But before we talk about Santi, we'd like to learn a little bit more about you and your journey. You've had several different stops and different roles, one being a scout with the San Antonio Spurs. Tell us your story prior to landing at Loyola.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, I was all over the world coaching. Originally born and raised in Serbia, I coached in one of the biggest teams over there, named Red Star. That's a big EuroLeague team. I worked there for 8 years. Got an offer in Spain to be head coach in Madrid for like almost 9 years. I spent 9 years in Madrid in Spain. After that, I made a decision to, you know, start exploring a little bit U.S. basketball. Got offer from San Antonio Spurs to be their international scout and assistant coach during the summer league. Spent great almost 4 years with the Spurs. And after that, I moved to college, went to Connecticut, spent 2 years at University of Hartford, 1 year with the coach Mark Price at the University of North Carolina, Charlotte. And this is going to be my 4th year at Loyola Maryland University.
Yeah, man, you definitely paid your dues, man. Definitely been all over. A lot of experience that you bring to Loyola. And I saw your tweet, and it reads, "I'm very excited for Santi and his family. Loyola is sending a great player and unbelievable person to the Memphis Grizzlies. Keep being who you are and enjoy every moment. Hashtag Circle of Trust, hashtag Loyola Great." I thought that was a fantastic and heartfelt tweet, man. You guys seem to be really close. Before we talk about Santi, the player, and what he brings on the court, tell us about Santi, the person.
Yeah, as I said in that tweet, Santi is coming from a great family. His dad played basketball. His uncle played high-level basketball. Dad played, if you remember, Barcelona, first dream team, original dream team, like 1992. Dad played against that team for Spanish national team. So he's coming from basketball family, mom, younger brother, all great people. So Santi is a product of that kind of family. So he's a really, really great guy. Unbelievable, humble, educate. I mean, there is no person probably at Loyola, if you ask whoever you ask about Santi, they're going to tell you all the best. Unbelievable kid.
And Aldama was the first Greyhound player selected since 1989, man. Talk about how special that accomplishment was for you, Coach Hardy, and the entire program in the university there at Loyola.
Yeah, I mean, this is really special day for that was really special day for us. For all of us, for the schools, for our basketball program. We went to Spain, actually. We spent that draft night with Santi and his family. I'm struggling a little bit with the jet lag right now because, you know, the time difference and everything. I just came back from Spain. And, you know, I'm so glad that he got drafted. And I'm pretty sure that he's going to have unbelievable career, long and unbelievable career in NBA. I mean, great, great for our program, great for our guys, for our players, coaches, for entire university.
Yeah, and you talk about that. You're over in Spain with Santi, his family, and the rest of the coaching staff in there at Loyola. Kind of talk about that moment when he got the phone call that the Grizzlies were taking him.
Yeah, that was a special moment. So we were about, like, you know, 20 closest people to Santi and his family in his uncle's house. You know, we were waiting to see what is going to happen. I was pretty sure that he's going to get drafted. And, you know, once they called his name, number 30, first round pick, like, you know, crazy emotions inside the room. Mom and dad and entire family, coaching staff who were there with him, we got super excited and happy because of him.
Yeah, I mean, the Grizzlies really showed their commitment to him, moving up from 40 to 30, straight to 40 a pick and two future second round picks to get him. So I think they really saw something in him that they like. And reading Thunder's comments, he seemed to be kind of surprised that the Grizzlies were the team taking him. There were reports that Oklahoma City had promised him that they told him that they were going to kind of take him, and that's why he kind of shut down some workouts. You may not be able to say much on this, and I totally understand if that's the case, but had he heard from the Grizzlies prior to them taking him at all, or was that kind of a surprise?
Yeah, I'm not really familiar with every detail. I know you probably know that Santi didn't do any kind of workouts here, and you know he moved to Spain basically after the season, and he spent time with the coaches there and his family. So I'm not really familiar with every single detail, but yeah, I heard the same thing about Oklahoma City Thunder. I heard about Indiana Pacers that they were at, I think, 31 to take him, like 31 or something like that. So definitely great move by Memphis Grizzlies to move their draft pick, and the trade that they did with Utah Jazz was definitely smart move.
Yeah, we're talking with Loyola Maryland assistant Ivo Sabovic here on the Hoopball Quiz podcast. You were the lead recruiter for Aldama. Tell us the story of how you first discovered him and how did that recruitment go?
Yeah, I mean, as I said before, I coached in Spain for 10 years almost. And, you know, basketball world is small. So I connected with Santi's dad, who's also a basketball guy. He played 17 or I don't know how long, 15 years pro. And we connected, and Santi was super young. And, you know, we had kind of relation. Like every year when I go and play at Gran Canaria, I met the family, I spent time with them. And once I moved to college, basically his dad called me, you know what, I want my son to be with you. So they trusted me, I trusted them. That was in that moment, like, probably surprising for everyone, because Santi got his before his freshman year, he got an MVP of the FIBA under 18, which is big deal overseas. And if you see like last 17 or 18 MVPs under 18 FIBA, most of them, like some of them, they're lottery picks, and they're like most of them they're NBA players. So that's a big deal. So officially he came to Loyola as the best European player at that age. So you know, he had a bunch of offers, a lot of teams from all over the country here, a lot of schools, ACC, Pac-12, all those schools offer. And, you know, I felt like, you know, Santi wanted to be with us, and I trusted him, he trusted me, and the product of that is a first-round NBA pick.
Man, Oliver really, he dominated in the Patriots League last year. He's 6'11", 215 pounds. Averaging 21.2 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, almost 2 blocks, and more importantly, 37% from 3. Like, we really love that down here in Memphis, as he really fits that mold of kind of a modern-day NBA big. Tell us about Sonny as a player.
Yeah, I mean, you said 215. 215 was his freshman year. He's 224 right now, okay. And he's getting bigger. Obviously, 6'11", 7 feet tall guy who can shoot and handle the ball at that level. It looks, when you watch our games on Synergy, it looks we have a guard who's like 6'5". That's how he move on the floor, and that's how good with the ball is he. So I spoke with a lot of scouts and, you know, GMs and people, NBA people called me during the year. And I always said one thing, can you name one or more two players in this NBA draft who are capable to do what Santi is capable to do? Just like, you know, handle the ball, shoot, play inside out, be so versatile and talented. You know, I'm honestly, I'm not surprised that he dominated in Patriot League. Like, Patriot League, unfortunately, we couldn't play non-conference. Part of the plan and, you know, to develop him as a player was play good competition. And unfortunately, because of the COVID now this year, he didn't play any non-conference. But yeah, I mean, he definitely dominated. Like, he was by far a best player in the Patriot League.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, man. I watched some film on him, man. I was super impressed. He definitely fits, like I said, the modern-day NBA big and what scouts look for big guys now. A guy can play inside. Like you said, he can step out, shoot from the mid-range, can shoot from three, can handle the basketball, really get out in transition. And I think that'll work play really well with the Memphis Grizzlies because they're a team that likes to get out and run with Ja Morant. So I think he'll fit in nicely there. And they could always use more three-point shooting, and he definitely brings that.
I would just say something really quick. So his shooting percentage is, I think, would be way better than 37 or whatever was his percentage. He played with a broken finger whole year. So a couple of maybe like week and a half before season start, he broke his finger. And our medical staff, they told him, like, you know, you cannot play. You're done for 6 weeks. Santi, he refused to don't play. He didn't want to do that. And he played with a broken finger, which is not easy. You know, basketball is the game that you use arms. So that was pretty tough for him.
Wow, yeah, that's pretty impressive. And I think that's a testament to his work ethic. So we definitely like to hear that. A guy that's not gonna let an injury slow him down, man. Kept playing, and again, playing at a high level, man. That's really, really impressive. Last thing, man, before we go, and I'm sure this is the number one thing on Grizzlies fans' minds. I'm not sure if you know exactly, but when it comes to Santi, does he plan to join the Grizzlies in Vegas for summer league? Is he coming over this year, or does he plan on staying in Spain?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the plan is to join a summer league team. So you guys are going to be able to see him in the next couple of days. And, you know, the plan is to probably stay with the Memphis. So with the Memphis Grizzlies this year. And, you know, he's excited about that. And, I think that he's ready for that.
Yeah, man, we're excited, man, to watch and cover Santi as he continues his development. I mean, he's doing a fantastic organization with the Memphis Grizzlies. And you go back to that word development, man. Coach Jenkins and his staff have a tremendous track record in player development. So if there's any organization that will help in this maturation process on and off the floor, it would definitely be the Memphis Grizzlies. So he's in great hands down there, man. We definitely keep in touch, man, as Santi matures and goes on this time in the league. Really thank you for taking the time for joining us. And it's definitely great for Santi to have someone like you in his corner, man. Seems like you guys are really close, and we definitely appreciate your insight. And sure, the fans here in Memphis will love listening to what you had to say about Santi. And again, man, we're excited down here.
Thank you for having me, and you guys got a good one, a great one. So I'm pretty excited about Memphis organization and Santi as well.
Thanks, Coach. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Good stuff there, man.
Yeah, man. Loyola assisted Ivo Samovic, man. It's wasn't just his coach, man. It seems like he's a guy that's known the family and been around Santi, I'm sure, probably through his younger days, man. So if anyone has any insight on Aldama, it's going to be him, man. It's good stuff, man. Because he's kind of a mystery, man. I don't think a lot of people in Memphis knew much about him coming in when they took him. I'm sure a lot of people were scratching their heads. It was like, man, we don't know much about this kid. And playing up in the Patriot League, just like you said, I mean, it's not, especially during the COVID year, you're just not going to see a lot of Loyola on TV. But if you watch the film, man, he jumps out on you, and he dominated in that league the way that you expect an NBA draft pick to do so.
Yeah, for sure. And the thing is, you know, I was having a conversation with one of my buddies, and he's kind of a casual fan. You know, he likes basketball. The Grizzlies are his team. He doesn't really get into it very deep, and it's not because he wouldn't. It's just he has life, and there's other things that he devotes his time to. But, you know, when they took him, we were talking about it. He's like, man, like, what's going on? What do you know about this kid? And I didn't know. This is a guy that we didn't cover heading into the draft. So after they picked him, I'm going straight to film. Like, I'm going in and I'm watching. And like you said, he definitely stands out. When you go and you watch any of the film from any of their games this year, you can tell that he was the dominant guy on the court. And just like Coach said, talking about his ability to handle the ball and pass the ball as a 7-footer, just it's going to be very interesting to see how he comes along. And also, I've said it through this whole draft process this year, I don't believe that Jaren is a true five. I'm hoping that they take a shot at somebody that's a true five. And Aldama seems to be, especially in the modern day era, like a guy that can rebound, a guy that can play make, that can shoot the ball. He's going to fit very well with this team. And I'm glad that they've got somebody that could possibly develop into the starting five. And that's even outside of Xavier Tillman. You know, Tillman may still develop into being that guy, even though he's undersized. But I really like the skill set that Aldama has and what he's going to bring to the table. And, you know, with Coach telling us right there that he is going to be over for summer league, dude, I'm pumped. I cannot wait to see this kid play with the Grizzlies.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing for me because I wasn't sure. I mean, you had heard reports that basically he was saying that he was in Spain and he didn't even want to get drafted there. He was telling teams to not take him. Now, that could have been because Oklahoma City shut it down. There's been some rumors that Oklahoma City promised him, and that's kind of why he shut down workouts and didn't really do any Zoom meetings. And then Coach even threw Indiana in there at 31 as a team that was looking at him. So that would make a lot of sense is why the Grizzlies felt like they had to jump up to 30 to go up there and get him. And again, man, you go back to Zaire and even with Santi and going up to get Desmond Bane and trading to get Brendan Clark, this front office has shown that they're going to go get their guys if they had an opportunity. And I think that's exactly what we saw here. And you talk about his game, man, you go look at the film. I mean, this guy gets steals, get out in transition. I mean, he gets it in goals, man. He can get to the basket. I mean, he does a little bit inside and outside. Looks like he's a pretty good passer, high IQ basketball player. So, I mean, and I don't want to put Marc Gasol comparisons on him. And I know it's kind of lazy. People say a Spanish big man and you're going to say Marc Gasol, but you see some of that in him, man. Some of the passing ability and the IQ stuff. I don't think he'll be exactly the same player as Marc. So don't say that that's not exactly what I'm saying, but IQ wise, I think you can see.
You heard it here first.
Marc Gasol, yeah.
Yeah, Santi Aldama is going to be the next Marc Gasol. Hey, I'm here for it, bro. If he is, we all know what Gasol done for this franchise. So, you know, if he is, man, sign me up. Going back to the trade talk, the trade-ups, this is the thing. Like, this front office seems to be very well put together, I guess is kind of the best way to say it. Like, they have a plan. They know what that plan is. And we sit back and we question because we don't know. We don't have access to all the insight that they have. We were mad on draft night because they took some fans were mad on draft night because they took Zaire at 10, thinking, man, why did you get rid of JV? You didn't have to trade up. You could have got him at 17. And then now looking back and talking to Coach there, they definitely had some form of insight saying, hey, if you wait till here, this guy's not going to be there. And so they pulled the trigger, and I'm glad that they're not scared to do that, because I feel like with past front offices, they would be maybe a little bit too passive and just take what falls to you. And sometimes that's good if you make the right pick, but you know, you go back to the string of bad picks and they didn't do that. So, you know, when they target a guy, the fact that they are willing to go out and give up what it takes to get the guy that they want, I like that a lot.
And I think one thing about this, the Grizzlies organization in the past prior to this regime, is there was always a question of who's in charge here. I mean, you go back to the Levian area, there was talk that Chris Wallace was the GM, but it was just a figurehead, and you had other guys behind the scenes pulling the strings. You go back to Michael Heisley and the Baronies, even though they had Chris Wallace in place, it was like this was Heisley's pick or Tony Baroni made this decision, and you just never knew who was making these decisions. I think there was a lot of cooks in the kitchen, because you go back to the DeBeat thing and there's word that every guy in that front office had a different guy, and I think Heisley won out. I think DeBeat was his guy. I've heard that Chris Wallace wanted to take Tyreek Evans, which would have been a better pick, and Wallace gets blamed for that, and who knows what really happened. You'll never know, but that's just kind of the stuff that you heard coming out of that front office. I think now these guys, Zach Kleiman, Rich Cho, Tayshaun Prince, I think these guys are all on the same wavelength. And I think they make these picks as a collective instead of each guy having all this. I think they come to an agreement to decide the moves that they're making. And I think that's kind of what you want to see from your front office. You don't want these guys to be all over the place. And I think that's kind of what we had prior to this regime. So again, man, I applaud them for going up and get their guys, and they have several examples of doing that. Mm-hmm. And it's another something with Santi. And I asked him about that moment when he got that call. I saw some of the pictures, man. And you could just tell how excited that family was to get his name called. And you just hit on it a second ago. I mean, the Grizzlies had him. He said at 31 that the Pacers were possibly going to take him. So, I mean, you jump up one spot ahead of them into the first round, and that makes it a guaranteed deal. I mean, take him in the second round is not guaranteed. Now he's a guaranteed contract, so that means they really wanted him, And I'm excited to hear, like you said, that he's going to possibly be here in Vegas in a few days with the team, because I think him and Zaire, I want to see them out there getting some playing time, because these are two guys that they've invested in that need to grow and to get that opportunity. It was great. I was kind of disappointed when I felt like possibly that he wasn't planning on coming over this year. But it's good to hear, and we talked about this on the last podcast. What does this mean for Killian Tilly? A guy who kind of fits the same mold, a guy that's 6'10", that can shoot the basketball. Now, I think Santi is a better all-around player. Now, the Grizzlies extended the qualified offer, which makes Tilly a restricted free agent. But both of these guys are going to have to be on the 15. And I just find it hard to see both of these guys being on the roster, especially when they're already in a roster crunch. And Santi, I mean, they just gave him a guaranteed contract and picked him in the first round. You got to think, if it's one or the other, Santi's going to be the guy. And I hate that, because I think Tilly is a guy that has some experience that deserves to be on a roster and to develop. So somebody else might pick him up, and Grizzlies might look down a couple years down the line and kick yourself. But I think Santi's going to be a tremendous player, and I think he has a lot of upside in a kid that I can't wait to watch grow.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I was looking, you know, just kind of digging through stats on Aldama, and his minutes increased in his second season. His sophomore season, he went from 30 to 35 minutes a game, and I'm looking at defensive stats, and it's like he was at 1.7 blocks per game playing 30 minutes, and then he went up to the 35 minutes a game, and it stayed at 1.7, and I'm like, man, you know, I know 5 more minutes is not a ton of time, but I would have liked to have seen that rise, you know, see that go up. But then when you dig into it, you dig a little bit deeper and you look at his defensive rating, his block, like you didn't see an increase there. So production kind of went down, but his defensive rating from his freshman to his sophomore year improved 6 points. So, wow, you know, good. Like he had a, even though you didn't see the block number increase, and you can't, you know, blocks and steals are not all of defense. Dylan Brooks is a prime example of that. He doesn't get a lot of love from advanced metrics because he doesn't steal the ball a ton. He doesn't block the ball a ton, but we all know, and we watch Dylan and we see that he's a huge impact player on the defensive end. So, you know, those numbers don't tell you everything. But, you know, those are things that we look at whenever we're analyzing a player, when we're, you know, watching film and breaking them down, you know, we're paying attention to stats. So to see that defensive rating improve, you know, that's saying, okay, either he bought into the team scheme a little bit more, or, you know, he was a little bit better with his hands. There's a number of different things that could lead to the improvement. But when I didn't see the increase in blocks with the uptick in minutes, I was afraid that I'm like, man, just kind of made me wonder. And then whenever I done a little more digging, I saw that increase. I'm like, hey, all right, I'll take that. That's you don't have to block 3 shots a game, you know, if your defensive rating has improved that much.
Yeah. We talk so much about his offense and what he can do on the end. I think he has potential as a 2-way player. And as I told Coach Samovic, this organization has done a great job of developing talent. You see how the rookies that they drafted, guys like Xavier Tillman, and were able to step in and really play. And even veteran guys like Kyle Anderson, the strides that Dylan Brooks has made. This coaching staff has really done a good job of it. And I always go back to me asking Coach Quinn Snyder back during the playoffs about his relationship, him and Taylor Jenkins. Taylor Jenkins coached under him in the G League. And I asked him about their relationship. And he said the first thing that stood out with him, with a very young Coach Taylor Jenkins, was his relationships and the way that he helps players develop. And again, I mean, any rookie, I think if you kind of look at the history of this team, they should love to be drafted by Memphis. And I think that's one thing that makes me feel better about the Zaire Williams pick is I think that they're a coaching staff that's going to be able to bring out his strengths. They know what he needs to work on, and they're going to key in on those aspects. And hopefully he's going to improve on them. And the same thing with Aldama. But I think this could be a guy that ends up being a steal. I mean, I think being in the Patriot League, people blow that off and like, oh, well, you can't take those numbers into consideration. But as Coach Samovic said, I mean, he had offers from all over. So it doesn't sound like this is a guy that had to play there. It sounds like he went to Loyola because of the relationship with him, and his family trusted him and wanted him to be there. So I think this could end up being a steal, man, and I'm excited about it. And again, man, it looks like he's going to be in Vegas with the team, man. And that's going to be fun, man. I can't wait to watch.
100%, man. The small school thing, Ja Morant, and that's all I'm going to say. That's it. Like, don't come with me. Don't talk to me about the small school thing. The best player on our team, and he has a good chance to be the best player in the history of the franchise, came from a small school. So, yeah, you know, OVC, you know, like, small conference doesn't necessarily mean anything, man. I think that recruiters sometimes get tunnel vision because, you know, Ja played on the same AAU team as Zion. You're telling me that these scouts went out to watch Zion and didn't see anything from Ja?
Yeah.
I'm not buying it, dude. Like, they were tunnel vision. They were not paying attention to anybody else on the floor. They were watching Zion. And so, you know, it doesn't scare me at all. Like, let him get in here and work with his coaching staff. And by him, I mean Aldama, get in here and work with his coaching staff. And let's see what happens. Because he – just look at the numbers, look at the film, and I think you'll be sold on him pretty early on. And that's the difference between this pick and the Zaire pick for me was it translated in the college game. You saw Aldama be effective at the college level. And there's a lot of uncertainty with Zaire because he just didn't really produce at Stanford. I understand all of the underlying circumstances and stuff like that. But like you said, the ability of this coaching staff to develop talent, just looking back over the growth that we've seen from these guys that are currently on the team, I'm here for it. I'm, you know, if they can turn Zaire into somebody that's effective with his frame and athletic ability, it could be very scary.
I tell you, man, Brandon Ingram, man, is the guy that I look at and look at Zaire and think that's what I would like him to be at his ceiling. And I, man, that would be.
I think your bar is too low, bro. I really do.
You want to go higher than that? I hate to go crazy, but I think.
Like, you know how I am whenever it comes to player comparisons, right? Like,
I hate them too.
When people are like, oh, this is the next Kobe Bryant, or this is like, this is there's Michael levels Jordan. To it, right?
Like, I think of Deshaun Stevenson, NBA Draft.net had Michael Jordan for Deshaun Stevenson. So that lets you know right there about these damn player comparisons, man.
Yeah. So I just, you know, if he gets to the Brandon Ingram level, am I going to be disappointed? Absolutely not. Brandon Ingram is a stud, but I have a lot of faith in this coaching staff, and with the size and the ability to handle the ball, there's only one other guy in the league that's doing that size, man. Kevin Durant.
I knew that's where we were going.
Zaire, when he's talking about it, he talked about simply looking to Kevin Durant. So the shot, the length, I'm not saying that he's going to get there, but I would not set my ceiling level at Brandon Ingram. I would love to see it get higher than that, but you never know. I'm not saying that this kid is going to develop into Kevin Durant. I didn't flip that fast. I'm still waiting to see. I have faith in Taylor Jenkins and this coaching staff. And we'll see what happens. I'm still salty that they didn't take Boak Knight. That's my guy. But I'm going to support Zaire because he's a Grizzly.
Yeah, I think for years down the line, we're going to be comparing Zaire and his development to Boak Knight and Moody's. So we'll see how that plays out. But kind of go back to that point, I think one thing that drives that point home even more is that you have these kids that go to big school, big-time schools and bigger conferences and put up big-time numbers, and they end up being bust. So it's not a guaranteed science either way around. So I think you can't discredit these small school kids. You have to look deeper than that. If you watch the film, I think there's a lot to like there from Aldama. But again, man, I want to thank Coach Ivo Simbovic for taking a little time out with us. I mean, it seems like they're really close. I mean, and you talk about him, Aldama as a person, seems like he comes from a great, great family, has a great support system growing up. And Ivo, he's even a guy that I think he leans on is really close to. So we'll definitely keep in touch with him. And as Aldama continues to develop here in Memphis, and I'm excited, man, let's go. Looks like he's going to be out there in summer league in Vegas next week, and him and Zaire are going to get out there and do their thing. And I'm definitely going to be watching closely, as I'm sure the rest of Grizz Nation will as well, man. But we're going to go ahead and get out of here, man. You can find me on Twitter at Isaac_Rivals, ISAAC_Rivals. You can find my man D Will, David Williams, on Twitter at DWill2111. And before we get out of here, David, you got anything else you want to say?
No, man, just enjoying this summer league stuff. Some of the guys that we talked about in the discussions, the two ways are going to be very interesting, because Pons is playing extremely well. Weems is playing well. And, you know, McDermott limited minutes. I'm wondering if we don't see something happen with McDermott and one of these other guys end up, you know, like, are both of these other guys end up with a two way. Like, you know, Wallace played well last night.
Yeah, that was a first look.
Yep. So, you know, I know that technically McDermott is under the only two way that the Grizzlies have right now, but I don't know that that's a guaranteed thing. I'm not sure how all the logistics work with that as far as waiving him or whatever they need to do, but it wouldn't surprise me at all to see one of these three other guys move into, you know, Weems, Pons, or Wallace move into that other two-way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to down McDermott or anything like that, but I just think there are other guys with more upside. I mean, we've seen McDermott around for a while. I think I just don't know if he's developing the way that you like to see. I think there are guys with higher ceilings, and you talk about Pons, man. I mean, I think the bigger thing outside of athleticism and what he does defensive-wise, I mean, you've seen some lobs that he's caught, some crazy dunks. He had one play with two blocks on the same play. But I think he's 3 of 5 from three in these two games. And that's something that we've talked about here. Shot 27% at Tennessee, but I think close to 80% from the free throw line. So you think there's some shooting upside there. And I think that was Matt Babcock who kind of said the same thing I said on Twitter, that if he could develop a mid-range shot or a capable three, be a capable three-point shooter, he's an NBA guy. So I think the Grizzlies.
Yeah, 100%.
I think the Grizzlies got a steal with him. I think he should have been drafted. I think no way you look at some of these guys that were drafted in the 50s and look at Pons and think that he's not as good as those guys. So I think the Grizzlies getting him in on a summer league deal and training camp deal, I think they did a tremendous job. Weems had a really good game the first game. Didn't play really well last night, but I think there's some upside with him. And Keith Wallace, who's a guy that I know David really likes, I kind of liken him to a poor man's Bones Highland. I mean, you just kind of see that on his play last night. Played super hard and just a scorer. I mean, he's a bucket out there. So I think there's some upside there. And Shaq Buchanan is a guy that played at Murray State, one of Jaw's best friends, who's been around the Grizzlies in a hustle for a while. Man, he's been playing really well in these two games as well. So, man, it's some good stuff. Yeah, it's some good stuff. Yeah, I mean, he really worked on his three-point shot, shooting with confidence, it seems like. So, I mean, it's been fun to watch, man. Wasn't pretty last night, but dominant in the first game. We saw Desmond Bain on a ball, which is something interesting. I don't know if that's just something Coach Radakovich is just doing for summer league, or is that something that they specifically want to work on to see if that's something that they could see at times in the regular season. So that'll be interesting to watch. Those guys might be back out there on tomorrow night when they take on the Spurs. Didn't play in the second game. I think they just kind of wanted to see where some of these younger guys were, if they had anything. So again, man, that last game of the Utah Summer League tomorrow night, they're going to move on to Vegas. It looks like we're going to have Zaire and Santi for that, man. So it should be fun.
Can't wait, man. Can't wait.
Yeah, but we're going to go ahead and get out of here. Make sure you go over to @HoopBallGrizz. Give us a follow. We definitely appreciate that, man. This is definitely going to be one you want to check out. Again, very thank you to Ivan Samovich and his insight. Definitely found out a lot about Aldama. And again, man, it's going to be fun watching this maturation process. Man, we'll be back either later this week or sometime early next week for more Summer League talk as we watch and see who's looking good out there. But until next time, we're going.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.